session of Subcommittee on Ethical Conduct to order. On May 20th, 2010, the committee received a letter from a number of, well, four legislators, Republicans. It's a letter of inquiry regarding the ethical conduct of Senator Chaudhry. We received the letter, which triggered a response from Senator Chaudhry asking to be heard in regards to this ethical conduct letter from four Republicans. Senator Chaudhry, must be noted, is the person that is asking to be heard today, not in reaction to the inquiry from the Republicans.
Okay. Very good.
I think I'll start with the Senate Counsel's been looking at this for over a week. It's a request from me to gather some facts as he sees those, and I will have Mr. Watson briefly go through some of the articles that he found that might that we. He thinks deals with these issues. So, Senator, Mr. Watson.
Mr. Chairman, to review the letters then, does everybody has a copy of the letter from Senator Senjum and others and the letter from Senator Chaudhry?
Should be in your
copies pack. Passed out for the members of the audience have those?
Senator Chaudhry's letter was dated May 27th, and the first letter was May 20th. So.
Then I have a handout here that's the rules of the Senate relating to ethical conduct, rules 55 to 58. You can pick up one of those. And then what the chairman was referring to, I think, next is this packet of newspaper clippings and statutes. And if those can get passed out so everybody has one, I'll walk through them for you. Should I take just a moment to highlight the rules of the Senate that are relevant here?
I believe that would be in order.
Maybe I should. On Rule 55, the Subcommittee on Ethical Conduct, notice line 23.18, or Rule 55.2, the Subcommittee shall serve in an advisory capacity to a member or employee upon written request and shall issue recommendations to the member or employee. That's what we're about to do here today, is to issue some recommendations at the request of a member. Rule 55.3 has to do with complaints, and those complaints have to be submitted in writing under oath, but they also have to be received before adjournment sine die in the last year of a Senate term. This complaint did not, or this incident really arose toward the very end of the session, and nothing was said about it until after the Senate had adjourned sine die. So it's beyond the time when the Senate, as a body, can take any kind of disciplinary action, but it's not beyond the time when the subcommittee might give its advice to a member on request. Looking over to the standards of ethical conduct in Rule 56, note that Rule 56.2 has a standard about not publishing or distributing written material the member knows or has reason to know that the material includes any statement that is false or clearly misleading concerning a public policy issue or concerning the members or another member's voting record or position on a public policy issue. So that's our standard for distributing written material. Rule 56.3 talks about improper conduct and says that it includes conduct that violates a rule or administrative policy of the Senate, that violates accepted norms of Senate behavior, that betrays the public trust, or that tends to bring the Senate into dishonor or disrepute. On conflicts of interest, which is, I think, the main matter of concern here today, we're talking about a decision that would substantially affect the member's financial interests or those of an associated business, unless the effect on the member is no greater than others in the member's business classification, profession, or occupation. And the requirement is that that potential conflict of interest be disclosed. I think that's about all that's relevant in the rules to this particular proceeding today. Then turning to the packet of newspaper articles and so forth, the first page, first couple of pages are from the House Journal of May 12th, the 103rd day, and you'll see the highlighted piece is a motion by Senator Dill to add a Section 47 Special Regulations Fish Lake Reservoir, St. Louis County. That's the amendment that is in controversy here. You'll see that it's one of several amendments that were being adopted on that day on the floor of the House. The next page, the next piece of paper, has the special regulations language boxed, but it's now Section 54 because other sections, I guess, were added in the bill before that, before it became the law. This is the text of the bill as it was presented to the governor. Next in that packet should be a copy of Section 10807 on conflicts of interest and the procedure for notifying the presiding officer of a conflict and asking to be excused from voting if one is a member of the legislature. Next is a copy of Section 97C.005, Special Management Waters. That's the law that gives the Commissioner of Natural Resources the authority to adopt special regulations for improving the fishing on a particular lake. You'll see that it doesn't require that a separate bill be passed to authorize the regulations, but this is something the Commissioner may do on his own motion.
Let's state that again, that it didn't have to be done legislatively. You could go to the Commissioner under rulemaking authority. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
Okay.
Then next, Mr. Chairman, is a packet of newspaper stories from the St. Paul and Minneapolis papers that recount what happened on that night of May 12th and following, and includes the explanation of Senator Chaudhry and some words from Representative Dill and others who were involved in this particular set of circumstances. What I've done, what you alluded to earlier, was tried to take that information that's in those several pieces of paper and condense it into a narrative that describes the facts of what went on. And it's in the form of a draft letter to Senator Chaudhry, dated today, most recently updated at 9:13 a.m.
Okay, everybody have that?
Does everybody have that?
The fact, this is kind of what we're working off of.
Okay.
June 2nd, it's on the top, and it deals with the...
It says draft.
It's important that we follow along on this one. Have that, Senator?
Okay.
Everybody have it?
Okay. And I think one of the main things that the subcommittee wants to do now is to get Senator Chaudhry's reaction to this. He has not seen this before, to see whether he might have edits or points of disagreement with it. before the subcommittee settles on what the facts are, see whether there are any matters in dispute or not. We don't know that yet. So it just sets forth the fact that there was an amendment that became Section 54 of Article 1 of Senate File 2900, and that Senator Chaudhry was the chief author of the bill. And it had passed the Senate, and it was in the House of Representatives on May 12th when Senator Chaudhry went to Representative Dill and kneeled beside him at his desk. And
the bill passed the Senate without the Senate.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. This was not in the bill. And asked that he offer an amendment, and the text of the amendment is set forth. Then it says that he told Representative Dill the purpose of the amendment was to improve walleye fishing on Fish Lake Reservoir. He said lake residents overwhelmingly favored the amendment, and that at a meeting convened by the DNR in March to discuss a fishery on the lake, about 60% of the 30 persons present favored new harvest rules. He showed him an April 1 letter from St. Louis County Commissioner Dennis Fink claiming that residents wanted the regulations, but he did not show Representative Dill a later letter from Commissioner Fink that withdrew that assertion because he found it wasn't necessarily true. And he did not relay to Representative Dill a conversation he had had that day with Commissioner Fink where he discussed that change of position. It says Representative Dill understood that Senator Chaudhry owned a cabin on the reservoir. And in fact, the cabin was on land leased by Senator Chaudhry from Minnesota Power. So he didn't own the land. He was leasing it. He told Representative Dill that the amendment was being requested by Senator Bach, but that apparently was not true. Representative Dill agreed to offer the amendment, and it was adopted. The differences were reconciled in the conference committee that he and Representative Dill chaired. At the conference committee meeting, he informed the conference committee members that the amendment had been added in the House, but did not inform them that he had asked it to be added. He informed the members that he had a cabin on the lake. Then there's a discussion of the law of conflicts of interest, which says it's primarily a disclosure law and is primarily concerned with financial conflicts, ones where the personal financial interests of the official will be affected by a decision the official makes. And it describes a conflict of interest situation where the public official in the discharge of official duties would be required to take an action or make a decision that would substantially affect the official's financial interests or those of an associated business, unless the effect on the official is no greater than on other members of the official's business classification, profession, or occupation. Then there's the rule of the Senate, which I read to you earlier, and then the standard from Rule 56.3 that says what improper conduct is, and that there is no further definition of improper conduct. That's left to be decided by the subcommittee on a case-by-case basis. So that's where we are at this point, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Scheid.
I have a question about whether or not when you lease this land, and I understand Senator Chaudhry has a cabin on it, I assume, I don't know if the cabin was there before or not, but can he sell that cabin to a third party? Or does it?
He doesn't own it, but who owns it? Minnesota Power, but he leases it, yeah.
Mr. Chairman, I think that's a question for Senator Chaudhry, and this might be the point at which to put him under oath.
I think that's we're at the point where we're going to hear from the senator, and read you the oath, Senator. Do you swear that the evidence you shall give relative to the cause now under consideration shall be the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do swear so.
Okay, Senator Chaudhry, we'll hear from you at this point.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate the members coming together on this. It's been a hard couple of weeks with the media stories about this issue. But I think maybe to save the committee some time, I'll just kind of go through some of the questions that you have. And I think I agree with much of the draft that you have. There are a few factual things that are not correct that I'd like to talk about, but to answer Senator Scheid's question, the answer is yes. We can. It's the Minnesota Power lease arrangement is kind of unique to that area of the state, and yes, we buy and sell the cabin itself at a appraised rate by the market in that area, freely. So we bought it from a private person. But when one does purchase it from the private party, you do have to enter into an arrangement with Minnesota Power for the lease of the land on that. So I don't own the land. We own the cabin itself. We enjoy all the uses that a normal cabin owner would have, but there's a long-term lease, and so I don't pay property taxes on the actual land or the shoreline, only on the particular structure, which is a 1,000 square foot structure, pretty modest.
Gives me a better understanding.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an interesting construction in that of ownership in that area, and it is impossible to get a standard conforming loan to even purchase it. You have to make sure that you approach financial institutions in that area who know that this is the case, and there's no chance of it really. Of the lease ever being canceled. It's like a 30-year lease. We basically pay rent on the parcel itself. And we're able to roll that into the mortgage for the actual structure.
Thank you. And Senator, so I understand you lease the property, you own the cabin. How long have you done that, and is it possible that the value of that cabin goes up or down depending upon the time, the recession that we're in? Is it something that if you hold on to or contract for 10, 15 years, does the value of it go up or potentially down?
Mr. Chair, Senator Ingebrigtsen, it's subject to market rates just like any other place.
Okay. Continue on.
Excuse me, how long have you owned it? I'm sorry.
We're coming up on our fourth summer. And I can tell you we're not interested in leaving. And nor are we interested in paying higher property taxes, by the way. The other items I would mention is on the first page, under facts, says, I kneeled beside Representative Dill and whispered to him an urgent request that he offer an amendment to the bill. That is not the case. A lot of people saw me kneeling next to Representative Dill and thought that I was trying to urge him, pressure him into offering an amendment. That is not the case. I was kneeling next to him, telling him that his constituent and commissioner Fink was actually at the chamber and asked him if he wanted to talk to him. And he told me no. And that is when I left the chamber and told him, Commissioner Fink, that Representative Dill was not available. He was presenting his bill. And Commissioner Fink asked if I could bring a copy of the letter he had sent me back in April down to Representative Dill, and that's what I brought to Representative Dill. I did not bring him an amendment. I brought him a letter from his constituent, who I did not actually know was going to be at the Capitol that day. I was just watching the House debate on the Game and Fish Bill, and Commissioner Fink happened to be there. And I had not spoken with Commissioner Fink since his first letter and following phone call after that where we spoke about the issue, and I stated to him that that it was an important issue, that I could help make suggestions on what happened, on what could happen, but he needed to work with his local reps, and he needed to talk with the DNR. And I had not spoken with him since until he gave me a copy of the letter that he had written the same day as the House Game and Fish Bill was presented on the floor, May 12th.
Is that, Senator, the second letter from
right.
Mr. Fink that withdrew?
It was the second letter, but the letter did not withdraw any support for it. I'm not sure where that interpretation is coming from. If you read the letter, it says, in my phone conversation with DNR staff, they state that they do not see a reason for moving forward with plans to implement slot limits. The community members I spoke with did not hear this latter message.
Senator Frederickson.
All believing the DNR would begin the planning process to move forward.
Senator Frederickson.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Chaudhry, when did you request that Representative Dill offer this amendment?
I asked Representative Dill if he was interested in this, and that is all I've done. There was no point where I was urging him or asking him to do me a favor or do a courtesy to me to do this.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Chaudhry, when did you have that discussion with Representative Dill?
It was at the it was an issue that I had raised to him that there were people who were interested in this, and if he was interested in doing something on the House floor or in his bill, he could do it. But it had to come from him because he's one of the reps from the area.
Mr. Chairman.
And when I did that was on the day of the I believe, and I'm trying to jog my memory on it. The best I can recall was on the day that the House Game and Fish Bill was being presented on the floor.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Schott, who caused the amendment to be drafted? Was it you or was it Representative Dill?
Well, I can't draft a House amendment, so it would have to come from him, but I suggested that if he wanted to do something, it could read as such, something general, where it says there shall be some general language, boilerplate language, that said that there will be some sort of fishing protection on the lake.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Chaudhry, without going back and looking at all the documents we have, I believe one of the letters was April 1st. Why didn't you bring this to the Senate committee, either draft the bill or have it as an amendment to the Omnibus Game and Fish Bill when it was before your committee, so the Senate members could have had time to ask questions of the Department of Natural Resources and give it due consideration?
Well, I think in the end that was something that I erred in not making sure that it was that the issue was vetted more, and that was my mistake. But after the April 1st letter, it wasn't a matter of me waiting in the wings to do a last-minute amendment. It was a letter that I got. I had a conversation with him that he needed to work with you need to speak with the DNR, which his latter letter indicates he did, and he needed to speak with his local reps about it. And I hadn't heard anything from him about it until, I ran into him on May 12th.
Senator Ingerbenson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So what I'm understanding, Senator, then, that it wasn't important enough for you on April 1st to bring this forward to a committee meeting. In fact, you've said that asked Mr. Fink or asked him to get hold of his representatives to bring it forward. Is that accurate?
Well, I think it was as important an issue as any other of the bodies of water that we were considering legislation for. It was no different than, in my consideration, than the Lake Florida provision that was also in the House Game and Fish Bill. But, this was really something that was for Representative Dill to decide. And if he didn't want to do it, he wouldn't have. I fully state that I played an arm's length role in conveying the information on this. But to somehow say, first of all, say that I pressured it is not the case. And even if I did, we consult with other House members and other legislators all the time. That in and of itself I don't think is problematic. What is, what I think was and could have been done better was that when I heard about this issue from locals, they wanted something done, I should have nonetheless put on the brakes and say, let's have this in bill form and have a debate. But we've done this with other legislation as well. The previous provision in the bill on Lake Florida happened the same way. And I should also mention that we overrule the DNR in legislation all the time. That's a very common thing that we do, as was the case in this bill as well. So it wasn't an urgent request for me.
Your staff drafted the amendment and gave it to Dill, or some language came from you, of course.
The language came from me. My staff did not draft the. I suggested to him that this could be done, but then it was the House that drafted it. So that part where I was urgently, kneeling at him, whispering him to offer an amendment is incorrect. I was telling him that his constituent had arrived. I didn't know Commissioner Fink was going to be there that day, but I was working on 100 other things in the Game and Fish bill. This wasn't the priority of the bill for me. I would on page 2. And that the first full paragraph, it says, you told Representative Dill that the purpose of the amendment was to improve walleye fishing. I didn't tell him the purpose would be to improve walleye fishing on Fish Lake Reservoir. I told him that there were folks up in that area that wanted this. And that was for him to consider if he wanted to do something. Further down in the same paragraph, you did not show Representative Dill a later letter from Commissioner Fink that withdrew that assertion. There is no such letter that I've ever seen. The May 12th letter, a copy of which was handed to me by Commissioner Fink on the day of the House bill, said that he had talked with the DNR staff, and what they said didn't jive with what the community members thought they heard, and that the DNR was going to begin the planning process. There's nothing here that says I was wrong, the people don't really support this. There's nothing here that says this, nor have I seen anything or heard anything that indicates that. And I have not spoken with Commissioner Fink or heard from him or emailed or texted or anything since that day.
Senator Ingebrigtsen on this.
Point of clarity, Senator, that first large paragraph you're talking about with reference to that, who requested the DNR to come up and do the study to start with?
People had, this was part of the inquiry that I responded to from some locals. They asked me what the process was for implementing some sort of fishing protection, and I did ask the local DNR fisheries what the process is, and I didn't request them to study it, but they indicated that they were thinking about studying it, and that's something that they would do over the winter. It was just a modeling of data. And after that, they told me, after that, they sent me their findings. And before a public meeting, they explained to me that some sort of special reg was indeed appropriate for that. And all of this is are questions from me. I'm not pressuring them at all. I'm just simply asking them, you know, what is the process, what does it take, because especially since they're interested in doing that.
Just to follow up then, Senator, thank you, Mr. Chair. You found it important enough to request that the people of interest here, the folks on the lake, get a hold of their representative to work with their local representative in getting an amendment or something passed. Did you request that the property owners on the lake that you reside or that you have a cabin, that they go to their local representative or local senator to have them handle this and not you?
Yes. Yes. That's what that's precisely what I told Commissioner Fink.
Before the study was done then. For the study, to have them request. Have the House member request the study instead of you being the chair of the
No, and I did not call them as chair of the committee. And it was my right as a citizen to call and inquire, just as it is anyone else, and that's all I did. And a lot of people had asked me around the lake, you know, what does it take? And I don't, you know, I think we're confusing a little bit of the perspective in all of this, because I'm also a resident of the lake. I have friends and neighbors on that lake, and they know that I'm an elected official in this position. And so to simply, when some people ask me what the process is, if I were just simply to say, well, call someone else, call your rep, you know, call the DNR, then I look like I'm not a very interested neighbor. And there's a human factor in there that is, I think we have to really understand. I didn't do anything that benefited me. And it's important that elected officials be responsive. And I see no problem with inquiring with government on people's behalf. I do that for people on Fish Lake. I do that for people on Leech Lake. I've done that for people on Cass Lake. I've done that for all sorts of bodies of water everywhere. I think that's an appropriate part of my role.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And the four of us sitting here have the same responsibilities, it seems to me, that if, and I live on Lake Ida. Now, if somebody were to bring an issue to me, right away I would have to say, wow, you know, I sit on this committee. Not only do I live on the lake, but I sit on this committee. I'm going to have you contact Representative Westrom or Tory or Otremba, because you know what it could be conceived that I'm going to benefit something. It could even be perceived that way, that I was going to benefit something. But you're telling me you didn't do that in this case. You didn't get a hold of or have them get a hold of their local representative until it was time for the amendment.
It's honestly, Mr. Chair, Representative Ingebrigtsen, this was something that was amidst 100 other issues that I was working on. This was to try and portray this as somehow a focus of my work since I got that letter is simply not the case. It was a standard response in many ways where I asked them to work with the DNR, find out what the information is, and work with their reps. And I will be happy to play a background role, which I made sure to disclose. And people knew about.
Just a follow-up. So just following that up then, so you did notify, or you did suggest that they notify their representatives before the study was done for this particular lake?
Not before the study was done. Up until that point, I simply made inquiries as to what the issue was and what the scope of the approach might or might not be. And I really didn't think about the issue at all until I got a letter and spoke with Commissioner Fink, who is a local elected official and who also resides on the lake. And even after that, the issue didn't really arise until over a month after that, when I got the follow-up letter that said the DNR is not, basically says that the DNR is not listening to the people. And that's not a stretch for me. I mean, we override the DNR a lot because they haven't been listening to the residents. And this is something that is for conservation, that doesn't benefit me. It doesn't benefit just the people who reside on the lake. It's a popular fishing destination that is a public water with two public accesses, three private accesses, and a lot of people fish on. There's no way that conservation can benefit one person, let alone in this situation.
Okay.
I told a couple paragraphs down, I told Representative Dill that the amendment was being requested by Senator Bach. That is not the case at all. At no time did I say that. I did tell him that Bach is aware of this. He should consult with Bach, Senator Bach, on this. It's my understanding that Representative Dill did speak with Senator Bach and that Senator Bach didn't have a problem with it, but at no time did I say Senator Bach was requesting this amendment. At a conference committee further down, just above number two, you did not inform them that you had asked it to be added. Again, I did not ask it to be added. It was what we believe to be the folks up there who wanted this to happen that asked for it to be added. And nor did I hand him an amendment to pass on the House floor. I simply suggested language. And we collaborate all the time on various pieces of legislation. I'm not trying to say that I had nothing to do with this, but this is not something that benefits me.
Senator,
it's a conservation measure.
Senator, in the conference committee, was this amendment discussed at the conference committee? That you're aware of?
The only discussion we had about it when we met in the public conference committee was my disclosure that I did have a cabin on this. That on that lake, and that it's important for people to know that. I asked the committee for advice. I did not feel it was conflict of interest because I'm aware of the law, and it has nothing to do with financial benefit or benefit for me in particular. Regardless, but at the same time, I asked for people's advice. I want to know what you think. What is your advice on the matter? And that's exactly what I said.
Because it wasn't heard in the committee, so
correct.
We had to at least talk about it in the conference.
Absolutely. I thought that was important. The only other thing, number two is basically restating the law. The other thing I would add is that in this draft is that that there were other regulations in the bill that the DNR objected to, but that we put in anyway because we felt conservation measures were appropriate. And I guess I would just conclude by saying that I feel that there was a conservation benefit to the state of Minnesota by this regulation and others that we did in the same bill that benefit everyone, and it's something that we do all the time. But at the same time, because there was a tie to my knowledge of the lake, I made sure that it was disclosed. And at no time was anyone was I trying to dupe anyone. There was a lot of things going on, and we liked over the past 4 years, our committee and our legislature has made some really good change in favor of conservation. And we've done that a lot of times over and above the objection of the DNR, including going all the way back to walleye stocking itself or the legacy amendment. A lot of good things we've done for conservation. We work in concert with the DNR quite a bit, but sometimes we have to overrule them because, in the end, it's the people who run this democracy. And when there's an appropriate balance between conservation and what the people want, I think it's important for the legislature to act. And when it occurs that a legislator has a cabin on a lake that's being preserved or protected, I think it's important that that disclosure occur, even though there's no actual financial benefit. And that's exactly what I did. I wanted to make sure that I was being honest and open. And that's what we did here. And finally, I don't see it as any different from a teacher who helps with a school funding bill, or a doctor that works on a health care bill, or a business person in the legislature that works for tax cuts for businesses. We all benefit by the things that we do in the legislature. So I want to folks to know that I was trying to be as open and honest as possible, make sure that this did come from the local representatives, and that anything that connected me to that was openly disclosed.
Senator Chaudhry, I think you probably should have had this vetted in your committee, because mm-hmm. the timeline, well, I have no idea when the idea to offer an amendment any place. I don't know if you had, may I ask a question? Did you have a bill drafted to do this?
No.
So, because the Commissioner Fink's first letter is April 1st, so there was plenty of time, I think, to talk about it in the committee. I think it would have been better to have vetted it there. I understand entirely what you're saying about things we do that where we may somehow benefit just as a citizen of the state. We vote on those kinds of things all the time. I understand that. But it seems there's a pretty fine line, or it might be even a little bit disingenuous, to say that if you suggested the language to Representative Dill and or House staff people who drew up the amendment, that seems to me that you did instigate this action. I mean, if you come forth and say, here's some language I think you know you might want on that particular subject, I think that's kind of a fine line. I'm troubled by that.
Mr. Chair and Senator Scheid, I agree with you. I'm not trying to say that I wasn't helping. I was. To me, that's not the point. The point is that I did my best. I was helping. But knowing that there was this connection, I did my best to make sure that I was at arm's length from the issue and disclosed it. And I received a letter after April 1st, which was after committee deadline, for one thing. But more importantly, there was no decision to create a law regarding this at that time where we knew about it and could have. It was only up until – it was at that time where I suggested to Commissioner Fink that he should work with the DNR and consult with his local reps. there was no decision that, yes, we're going to have this law and we'll wait till the last second and it'll be fine. That's not the case at all. And it wasn't until May 12th that I learned that he had talked with the DNR and they weren't apparently listening to what people wanted. So I wanted to clarify that. But you are right, regardless of when it happened, probably even more so, it should have been vetted. Because, I really have taken a lot of pride in vetting issues, particularly on hunting and fishing, because I know that they can be sensitive throughout my 4 years as chair. And I didn't in this case. It really should have been vetted more, and that was my mistake. And I've learned a very good lesson about that, and I think it's going to make me a better legislator.
Senator Frederickson.
Chairman, Senator Chaudhry, I had a similar concern to Senator Shides. I think you said that you never asked Representative Dill to offer the amendment. But I think that is a little bit of splitting hairs. If you assisted in having the amendment drafted, relayed conversations okay. you had well. To him from his constituents, maybe you didn't say the word Senator Representative Dill, will you offer this amendment? I think you certainly inferred that you were supporting it and that you were at least an intermediary in that and were involved in that process.
And Mr. Chair and Senator Frederickson, fair enough, and I was only referring to what the verbiage in the letter is saying. If you'd rather say in the letter, Senator Chaudhry helped in the amendment or assisted in the amendment to make sure that it's clear that even though I didn't force it on anyone, I was involved, that's fine. That I agree with, and I don't want to deny that.
Mr. Chairman, I have another similar concern that the Senator Scheid had, and this isn't particularly a question to Senator Chaudhry, but slot limits are often controversial, and they're put into place after a lot of public hearings by the Department of Natural Resources, and I certainly think this should have been, as a bill, duly noticed before committee so that everybody involved could come and testify and give testimony to what they think should happen on Fish Lake, because that lake doesn't belong just to the citizens who happen to have a cabin or live on Fish Lake. It belongs to all of the residents of Minnesota. And whereas the cabin owners around Fish Lake might want to see slot limits, maybe to have much larger walleyes, to have trophy walleyes in it, I don't know, I haven't heard the testimony, but there might be a large number of other Minnesotans who just want to come to Fish Lake and catch a few walleyes, whether no matter what the size, as long as they're keeping size and eating size.
Yeah.
So I think yeah. the way to have properly vetted this would have been with a committee with duly noted committee hearings.
Mr. Chair, Senator Frederickson, I agree. And that is where I erred.
Okay, Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator, I sit on your committee, as you know, and when you say that you vet issues. I think I've even said that to members before. You truly do. You vet them. Sometimes we may even think a little bit too much, but a little bit too much is better than nothing at all. In this case, that's what happened, and that's why I'm troubled with it myself. And I guess the question I'm asking is, when all the hard work is gone together, both the House and the Senate, yourself chairing the committee and all the members that bring different bills to this, was it ever any consideration of yours that by doing something that might be questionable here may jeopardize the bill with the governor? And as we all know, what happened now is that there has been a veto. I'm not saying that I don't think the governor's come out and said that was why, when you're dealing with these kinds of issues, it's certainly, again, everybody's human. They're going to make errors. I hope you considered that. And the other question I have is, in the process of vetting, you always consider science. And to say that the DNR is not necessarily we don't agree with the DNR and everything, it's troublesome to me that again, on something that you would be so close to, would allow this to go on without that vetting process. But, you know, we're kind of kicking the dog here. You've already admitted that was wrong, and I don't want to do that any longer. I just want to make that clear that in fact, you do vet things and to the point where I think a lot of good information is brought forward to the members. But unfortunately, what's happened here is not a lot of good work has gone. We'll have to be postponed to the next session, and I hope you took that into consideration before making your decision on moving forward here. So,
Mr. Chair and Senator Ingebrigtsen, to the veto issue, this lake was listed down the list of the governor's veto letter, along with two other bodies of water on which we instituted some fishing protections. And there was only really a vague reference in his veto letter to this. So at the top of the list was the two-line fishing, which we were, which I didn't support, but we just had to find some compromise on. And the second, I believe, was, and don't quote me on this, but the second or third was the allowing all kids to fish for free for the first time in Minnesota. Those were his top choices for vetoing the bill, not this. This issue was way down the list amongst other conservation measures that we put in. So I think, and then secondly, on the science issue, the DNR told me that their modeling indicated that some sort of reg was appropriate. They did. And the people in a survey where they had a public meeting in the local community stated that they overwhelmingly wanted one. So I hope you can understand where the thinking came from, that the biology supported it, the people wanted it, but the DNR wasn't doing it. This is not an unusual situation for us to confront in our committee.
Mentioned, I've got the veto letter here, and I don't know what way down the list means, but he pointed out four particular sections, and this is one of the four. So it is listed as fourth, but it's a huge bill, and it's, I guess in my opinion, it's probably not way down the list. It's on the list of four things that he singled out. So.
Senator Ingebrigtsen. Just a follow-up question then. Was the DNR in favor of this amendment?
Thank you. There was another point I wanted to make, and that reminded me, Mr. Chair, Senator Ingebrigtsen, no. I think it's pretty common experience in the legislature and our committee that they often oppose things that are put in legislation. They prefer to handle it on their own, and we've overridden them on many occasions. But after this amendment went on, we held a public hearing on the conference report, and we asked for public testimony. And the DNR did not testify. I mean, there was a long pause, and you were there where we asked for public testimony, and one person came to testify and said they supported the walk-in access provision. It would have been a good time if the DNR really opposed this or other things, or was thinking about suggesting a veto to do so, come up and do so, but they didn't.
Further questions of. I'm just one of the members, but it appears to me that, first of all, there's a lot going on here, as we all understand that, but I'm just thinking maybe there's a need, I don't know what the committee members feel, that Commissioner Fink comes in, the DNR comes in, DILT, Senator Gil, or Representative Gil, or maybe Senator Bach, or what do you folks think? Or do we need another meeting? Or so I guess we're kind of at that point now. What's the next step? This committee does have a lot of latitude, I would say, and we can do a number of things here, but it just it's up to the committee how you want to proceed. And I just threw one suggestion out, and maybe that's not the route we go. But Senator Ingebrigtsen, did you have
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I guess I'm just kind of thinking on my feet here. There's been an awful lot of names brought forward here today that haven't been here to be able to say one way or the other, not that we dispute what Senator Chaudhry is saying at all. It's just the idea that Representative Dill now is really involved or has been involved here, obviously. He's the chair of the House committee, and if nothing else, it gives him a chance to say what he has done. Now, I don't know if we have the authority to do that, to subpoena him in or not, or say whether he did anything wrong or not. I guess I don't know that.
I agree with. I don't think we're disputing what you've said here, but I just think it would make maybe some sense to hear from
I could also offer something else, Mr. Chair. You know, if a couple of these lines you feel are disputed, you can leave the language in there and say that Senator Chaudhry disagrees, but I mean the ultimate conclusion is the same. I'm not sure what he said or she said will benefit, because the question is, did this benefit me? And I agree with the draft where it says it does not.
I think we somewhat kind of agree somewhat on that statement that it doesn't, you know, benefit you in that area. But I think, to me, it's kind of maybe the norms of the Senate behavior. Maybe it's the bringing forward the issue earlier and things of that nature. It's not, I don't think the value is a big deal with this senator, but I think it's some of the other issues that were probably brought up.
The only thing I would add to that, Mr. Chair, is that in the clock of legislative time, you know, May 12th was not last minute at all. It was 5 days before we wrapped up the conference report about that. So this wasn't something that got inserted in conference committee. It was inserted on the House floor. Which happens all the time with various amendments. And, you know, I just assume the committee make a determination on what they feel should happen today, because it's kind of dragged on. And I think if people don't feel that there's a conflict of interest, then the rest of it you can simply say, you know, that part is, you know, questioned, but the fact of the matter is there is no conflict.
Any other suggestions, Senator Frederickson?
Well, Chairman, I don't know if I have a suggestion or not. I would just note that we don't have a complaint before us. And even if we did have, we could not act on it because we cannot receive a complaint after the Senate adjourns, sign, and die. And the reason for that is we make recommendations to the Rules Committee and the full Senate if we would want to impose sanctions on as a result of a complaint. But since the Senate is adjourned, sign, and die, we really have no power to enforce, although we do not have a complaint before us, so that's kind of a new point. I just wanted to put that on the record that when the Senate adjourns sine die, we really have very limited power. We can hold informational hearings. The other question I have is 55.2, a member may request the subcommittee to provide its advice on a potential conflict of interest, which would seem to me to be prospective. You know, and I think we've had a couple situations like that where members in the past have considered taking a job in a certain area, and they have come to us and said, well, now, if I accept this job, is that going to be a conflict of interest that's entirely prospective, entirely potential? Here we're giving advice after the fact, after a potential conflict has occurred. That's something going through my mind. I think the term potential here could be a little ambiguous as to which it means. But I think we have a lot of facts before us now. I think perhaps we should take it under advisement before we decide on another future action. Yeah. And one other, just completely unrelated to Senator Chaudhry's, another thought just about the proceedings of the committee. I think filings for office closed yesterday. And I do not want to see us get into a situation where we have people asking for an advisory committee opinions, or trying to bring something to this subcommittee that should be sorted out by the electorate, by the voters in that district. I think that is something, if you trace it back, goes all the way back to our Constitution and the right to elect members to the legislature and to Congress. You know, once election comes around and there's opponents and these issues are raised, it's up to the electorate to decide. Unless, of course, there's been a law broken, then it's up to law enforcement and county attorneys. So I'm hoping we don't see other requests between now and next January, unless it's something really egregious that would be of great benefit to air before this subcommittee.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, that's a good point, but this was.
And I stepped back from
this. Before the session ended, and yeah. I can understand what you're saying.
I'm stepping back. Right. I'm stepping back from what we have before us now.
I see. Okay. Senator Scheid, do you have?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure that I think we would be well served by having other people come forward, because I think we're going to get into a he said, she said, he did, or he did this, or he didn't, meaning Representative Dill, Senator Chaudhry, or whatever. I'm not real interested in that.
It was an option, so
yeah,
I just threw it out.
That's just kind of my initial reaction to that. And I also, I've been thinking about this, you know, knowing that this meeting was coming, and I thought, you know, the voters, and I understand someone has filed, and I think the voters are going to have the opportunity to decide in Senator Chaudhry's district. Having said that, you know, and that's, you know, a good thing. Having said that, I'm troubled kind of here mostly by the appearance, and I just noticed a comment in an article where the writer said something about the legislature. To what degree are intercessions by Minnesota politicians into natural resource management a natural response? Well, I think they're kind of saying that we kind of do this kind of thing, all the time. And over the years, I remember finding out about things that were inserted in a bill that we didn't know about, and we go, oh, boy, you know, there somebody goes again or whatever. And I just really don't like that's the perception, that we do that. And I kind of judge by what my neighbors can do, and they can't come forward. They can call their legislator and ask them, you know, their advice or what they should do. But they can't, you know, walk on to the Senate floor, the House floor, or walk into an office, pick up the phone, and say, you know, this is the language I'd like you to consider. Can you drop this in? It's not that it was so egregious. I don't think you're going to get rich off this. I mean, I think we agree that there's not that conflict of interest. It's just the idea that somehow, you know, you benefit. And we have a cabin been in my family for 60 years. You know, I'd like a few more walleye in there myself. But we have a lake association, and they kind of decide, you know, what they were going to ask for. If they do or not, I'm kind of not involved in that, and I stay away from it. I don't like the perception, Senator Chaudhry. I sense that you wish you hadn't done it this way. But that's where I'm troubled. I don't think it probably warranted any, even if it were during session, I'm not sure it warranted sanctions. But I'm uncomfortable with the notion that legislators can just plunk some language into a bill when nobody's really focusing on it. And I did listen to your conversation about the bill when it left the Senate. You know, I remember Senate File 2900, because you sit right across the aisle from me, and I try to listen carefully. I will admit I did not read every detail of the bill. I looked at some sections. And Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure that I know exactly what I'm asking us to do, but I think that we probably all can learn from this, and that going forward, legislators carefully consider what the perception is, because perception is reality, and we say that all the time, but it's true, and I don't like that perception.
Mr. Chair, may I add just on to that, Senator Scheid? You know, I agree with you. And I don't like the perception of legislators being able to plunk down things either. And I can guarantee you this amendment or notion or idea would have never came up if it had not resulted from a public meeting in the community where people were surveyed and a large, overwhelming amount of people supported this. And it was brought to me by a local elected official who is – it's my understanding Commissioner Fink chairs the St. Louis County Environmental Committee. So I was responding, I truly believe and honestly, to the desires of a community. It wasn't something that popped into my mind and said that this would be a good idea to benefit me. But nonetheless, I made sure to disclose that so people knew. And I was really trying to adhere to the letter and the spirit of our law and our Senate rules.
Well, I'm just wondering if,
Mr. Chair,
the fact that this has been in the newspaper and we've had a full-blown hearing, and it almost punish is the right word, but the senator's been through a lot, to say the least, and Senator Scheid mentioned, well, at the end of the day, it's the voters, and I don't know where we're at, but I believe as a form of an apology that maybe you've gone a little too far here on this one, and you seem very sincere that you've learned by this, and I agree. Having another, you say somebody else says, come, you know, that kind of a deal coming forward. He says, she says, it maybe doesn't make sense either. So, Senator Ingres.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I too am going to express a little bit of frustration and dismay, whatever the word is, as Senator Scheid has with the process here. Unfortunately, we are so, I guess it's not unfortunate, we all jumped into this arena knowing that we are in the public's eye, and I guess I don't have to tell you about the public's eye. They're all around us right now, and they have been watching and looking into this issue a long time. I looked at some of the articles here that were given to us over the past week or two, and you know, basically, with the public, we're fortunate or unfortunate, we're all on trial here. I mean, that's just the gist of it. I mean, we are being looked at as to how we're going to deal with somebody who has potentially made the whole system look bad, whether it be by mistake or, I believe the comment was, at least in one of these articles or somebody's article, that after 14 years, this isn't too bad, only one mistake. Quite the contrary. After 14 years, I think one would probably be, and hadn't gone around enough to know that if anything like this is going to come up in the area that you live in or own or rent or lease or have any kind of a fingerly tied to it, you have to absolutely jump up and take the soap scrubber and wash yourself totally clean of moving forward with anything. And I know that's above and beyond. I mean, we can't even be citizens. We really can't. I mean, we can't be the average citizen when we're moving forward to things like this. And if it's really needed and you see the need there, then you have to, I think everybody knows where I'm coming from here. You have to find a means to do that. And there is a means there, and the means, I think, was broken, and it's percepted as being for personal gain, financially maybe not. But the perception is there, and it's a strong perception, and I think this committee is charged with looking into it, and with Senator Chaudhry's own admission, he's done some wrong here, and we'll do it different next time. But I think we have to send a strong message to the public that we're not going to go along with this. And what the sanctions are, I'm not sure. I don't think we can, ask them to do anything drastic here or require anything drastic, but something has to be done, or I think the public's perception is going to be probably lower than what it already is. So,
Chairman, as a way to proceed, I would suggest that the committee and the committee staff make additions and changes to the draft that backs that Mr. Watson already prepared for us. And I feel like Senator Scheid did, that this was an issue that should have gone through the committee process. Let the subcommittee express our concern, and I don't know if concern would be the word we'd use in the end, but express our concern that this was offered as an amendment on the floor without public input, without the benefit of a hearing in either the House or Senate Environment and Natural Resource Committee. Contrary to the expectations of the members of the Senate. And I don't know, I don't have in my mind how we would word that now or how Mr. Watson would word it or what the other members of the committee would feel about that.
I think we all agree that the process wasn't properly done on this issue. Senator Scheid.
Mr. Chairman, I mean, I don't know if Senate Rule 56.3, that looks like something that's closest to what our concerns have been, and maybe that's already been said by someone here, because I think we tended to agree that there wasn't a conflict of interest, but this last, it's actually the last paragraph, conduct that violates accepted norms of Senate behavior. I think it betrays the public trust a bit. I think it does, and I found that section that I read the wrong paragraph actually before. But it said actions like Senator Chaudhry's, for better and worse, are more the norm in Minnesota politics and resource management than the exception. And this year's Game and Fish bill makes the point. I've never gotten terribly involved in those issues, but I know they're hot issues. I know that there are people all over the state that resent the DNR. Then they want the DNR to do something for me. Those are hot topics when you're out and about, particularly when it comes to lakes and rivers and fishing and hunting and those kinds of things. I've tried to avoid that. Fortunately, the committee I chair doesn't get into those issues at all. But I don't know that I guess I'm going to tell you I don't think that Senator Chaudhry has brought the Senate into dishonor or disrepute, but I think it does. But I think that doing this amendment the way it was done does betray the public trust, and it makes people think, there they go again. And that bothers me, you know, a lot. There's probably, and it's not like Senator Chaudhry is the first person who ever kind of blundered into doing this kind of thing or set out to do this kind of thing. But I think we really should kind of, I think we should call it on the carpet in that sense, and we should make some statement as to that we don't, we expect people not to do this.
Senator Chaudhry.
Thank you, Senator Metzen. And Senator Scheid, I appreciate your point of view. But on the issue of public trust, when I think it's important to public trust that when they bring an issue to an elected official, that they respond. That is an important part of public trust. And that's what I was responding to. There's nothing here that says I made this up on my own and there was some nefarious plot to improve my own personal fishing. People brought this to me. They were interested in it, and we acted on it. It was last minute, but that's because the issue came up at the last minute, not because this was planned to be at the last minute. And nonetheless, I made it a point to disclose the issue. I think I was not only not harming the public trust, but I was reinforcing it. And that's important for people to do. And finally, with regards to public trust, I'd like to see how many politicians are willing to stand up in public and admit they made a mistake. That is also a part of public trust. I am not going to be perfect. That's just not going to happen. But person of strong character has got to be able to admit a mistake publicly and correct it. And that's what I'm trying to do here. I think it's there. It would be there you go again if I didn't admit that I made a mistake. If I stood here arrogantly and said, yeah, so what? There was nothing here. You know, that's what a lot of other politicians do. But I'm willing to admit that there was an error of process, that I did the right thing, but in the wrong way. But it was for the benefit of conservation. It was for the benefit of a fishery. And I made sure that it was disclosed. And in the end, it was something that was reacting to what people wanted. And I think that's why we're here in the first place.
Make some sense to draft the complaint and see if we can. And I agree on that. I think I agree with the conflict thing. I don't think it benefits on that issue. Senator Chaudhry, any? I don't see how your valuation of at least. Property is going to skyrocket up. That issue I'm not embedded to. So, what do you think if we get some new language and try to agree with that? Or Senator Ingebrigtsen, do you have a.
Just if I could, not to that point, Senator, Mr. Chair, but very quickly we went over, maybe Senate Counsel can again, with regards to the letter from the leadership on the Senate Republican side, minority party, that we went through that very quickly, and I'm wondering wondering if you would go through that again. Now, I know there's a time frame there. It has, the complaint has to, if I'm, correct me if I'm wrong, the complaint has to come from either majority or minority, for that matter, while still in session. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Engelbrechtson, if this were a complaint, it would have to have been received by the committee before the Senate adjourned sine die. This is not a complaint. This is a request for an advisory.
Okay. So it's, see, so it would be, it was not, so this, the issue is null and void then, basically. You cannot, we cannot act on it.
Mr. Chairman?
May we deliver sanctions this late?
Mr. Chairman, the time for imposing disciplinary action is passed, but the time for giving advice continues. So if there is something you wanted to say to Senator Chaudhry in response to his request, you can certainly do that, and you can advise him that you think that his conduct was or was not a conflict of interest, and you could advise him whether you think that his conduct was or was not appropriate. If you want to pursue the line suggested by Senator Scheid and articulate how his conduct may have violated the public trust, you can certainly tell him that, if that's what you want to do.
Senator Scheid on the response.
Yeah, no. Mr. Chairman, I just jotted down some language because I don't think this is entirely peculiar to the situation at hand that Senator Chaudhry finds himself in, embroiled in. But what I'd like the message to be out of here is that senators should at all times conduct their legislative action or actions in an open, honest, forthright manner, especially when they may be perceived to have a financial or personal interest in that action. I understand there's not a financial. That's kind of where I want to go with this, that when we may be perceived to benefit by something we're doing, in not just in a generalized way as teachers voting on school aid or lawyers voting, you know, on a law, but when we have a personal connection to that subject matter, that we are as open about that as we can possibly be. And that's kind of where I'm going.
This is a little more narrow than a fire voting on a fire bill or something.
Yeah, right.
This does, the Senator, kind of come a little closer to the poll, but Senator Frederick.
Mr. Chairman, I was thinking, and I think I expressed this a little bit along the similar lines as Senator Scheid, that this was an issue that should have citizens brought this to Senator Chaudhry and perhaps others, but the proper response would have been to have drafted a bill and had committee hearings on this issue, because again, the issue doesn't only affect just those that happen to live around Fish Lake. It'll affect people all over the state of Minnesota who go to Fish Lake and fish and recreate there. And they should have some notice that there's been a bill introduced that's going to affect Fish Lake, and they have an opportunity to come to a hearing and voice their concerns about the issue, too. So I think it goes to how the issue is pursued and also how a committee may react to it.
Mr. Chair, I go so far as to add in your draft that you can include that Senator Chaudhry agrees with that as well.
Yeah, I'd just like to follow up, if I could, with what both the senators had just said. When you start talking about, again, the public trust, there's some implications here that this is going on all the time. Not all the time, but occasionally this will happen. I think that's what I've heard here. I'm not a senior member here by any stretch, but if it is going on, this group has an opportunity to say, you know what, we're not going to accept this. And I too think that strongly we have to somehow emphasize that, at least in the Senate. I mean, that's what we're in control of, is the Senate. And that message has to be sent that if there's any potential conflict of interest or question of potential public trust, that we all get thrown into that same barrel should one do this. And I just can't emphasize that enough. And as far as personal gain, yes, you're right. There's not a financial gain here. I don't think that we can prove that. But there is a process, and I think the process was circumvented here.
Well, you're right. It does reflect on the entire body. So
why don't we try to, Mr. Watson and I and their staff will meet and try to redraft some language and come back. I do agree that we have to get this done. I think for everybody's sake, particularly Senator Chaudhry's, we don't want this to drag on forever and come to a conclusion maybe this afternoon at 2 or 3 o'clock or something. With your permission, I'll try to take what the committee members have said with Mr. Watson and my staff, or our staff, and try to draft something and hopefully get it to you before our 2 o'clock meeting so we all know what we're doing. And we'll take into consideration what we've discussed here.
Chairman, I have a question. Time is 2 o'clock enough time to do that? Right, so. I think we should perhaps set a definite time so that interested
Mr.
people
Watson,
have time.
Three would be better. Then it's 3 o'clock. And we'll get the members something a little ahead of time so you can 2:45 or something to your desk. And we're back here at 3. Okay. Thank you all. And
thank you, Mr. Chandler. Chair.
Thank you. And we'll see everybody at 3 o'clock. Thank you. Meeting is adjourned.
Yeah, just. I mean, it's certainly not.